Praise the Lord. What a great day to be alive. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, or all ye people. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know you that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. Aren't you thankful? We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with what? With thanksgiving. Anybody got anything to be thankful for today? Oh, my goodness, yes. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Wow. Fear the Lord, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen. We have so much to be thankful for today. And just want to remind you today that we're still social distancing, and we're wearing our masks and keeping apart. So if you know anybody that wants to come to the house of the Lord, tell them that we're doing what we know to do, and we've got the seats separated, and just come on and worship the Lord with us. Amen. We're in revival here at New Life. I don't know about anywhere else, but we are in revival. Amen. Go, woo-hoo! Yes, God. I feel the Holy Ghost. God is doing some awesome things in us, through us, in the earth for such a time as this. Amen. I'm excited about the word that the Lord has given us today. Amen. The word in here in the bulletin this morning says, arise, church, you have been equipped with power. Let's stand to our feet this morning and get ready to enter into the presence of God. This is the final hour. No time for sitting back. Amen. We are the army of God that has been made what? Bold. A mandate from heaven we have received. Now is the time to go so others can believe. No longer can we be silent in this day. God has given us something to say. A word he has placed in our hearts, and that is the place where it starts. Amen. We have been called to break down the walls that have stood so tall. The things that have kept us apart, we know, have been the enemy's darts. And that's where the enemy's at. Amen. The enemy, the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high places. So people are not our enemy. And like I said, the people that are out there spewing the hatred and all these things are just pawns in the devil's hands. Amen. Ruled by a spirit of wickedness. Amen. But we're going to speak the word, and we're going to break those things over those people's life and speak grace into them. Holy Spirit, you are welcome into this place today. We come against every distraction right now in the name of Jesus. And for this moment in time, Lord, we come to set our focus completely on you, and that we have ears to hear what you would have to say to us today from heaven, Lord. Speak unto us today, God. We yearn to hear your voice, Father God. We want to hear you. We desire to hear you. Make us hungry to pursue you with all that is within us, O Lord. Thank you for what you're going to do in this place today, in the lives of those that are here, those that are listening, or those that may be listening later, because there's no distance in your spirit and no distance of time, that you're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And everybody said amen.
We're going to be taking the keyboard to get it checked out and fixed, amen?
Amen.
So we'll have it. But Miss Martha has been doing an awesome job teaching on praise and on
joy.
You know, the praise that comes out of your mouth, from your heart and out of your mouth. And I thought of this old song, and we'll see if you remember it. But it was, we used to call them our minor songs. Our Jewish songs, we used to say, and we had a whole bunch of them that we'd just go through them, and we would just praise the Lord and dance and have fun.
Yes.
Well, this one is as David did in Jehovah's sight.
Yes.
I will dance with all my might. Where? Before the King of Kings. And then it says, as Miriam did with what?
With
the tambourine. I will clap my hands and sing before the King of Kings. And then it goes on and it says, as Judah did on the battleground, we will make a joyful sound before the King of Kings. And then as Joshua did at Jericho, we will shout to defeat the foe. Amen. Glory to God. You know, sometimes you need to go back and pull in those old ones that make you enter in and speak in the word and reminding you. Amen?
Yes.
All right. Praise God. Hallelujah, Lord God Almighty. Woo, glory to God.
David did in Jehovah's sight, I will dance with all my might before the King of Kings. As Miriam did with the tambourine, I will clap my hands and sing before the King.
David doing, but he said, you know what? I'm going to praise and I'm going to worship my God. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, I've got something. I went into our office and I looked up on the wall and I found this. And it had been hanging there like that for months, long time. But, and I never had been, I knew it was there like that, but all of a sudden I was drawn to it. And you know what the Lord said? He said, what do you see when you look there? Do you see pain? Do you see shame? Do you see sickness? Do you see poverty? He says, you determine what you see. Let me show you something. So what I decided to do was if I place my Bible, you know, kind of like that, whatever I see is going to be the Word of God. Amen? The Word of God. So has nothing to do with what we're getting ready to sing. But it's our object lesson for today. Hallelujah. But in a way it does too, because If you carry shame, then it's just like you're in a grave. If you carry unforgiveness, you are definitely in a grave. And Jesus came out of that grave and delivered you from all these things. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Thank you, brother. We're ready to start.
Amen.
Glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Victory. I want us to lift up Clifton Coulter.
Yes.
He's going to be having surgery. I can't remember the name of it, but he's battled this thing for years where there's a nerve from the brain inside comes down his face, and it's extremely painful. And he's had two different series where they did radiation, and it stopped it for a while. But, am I wrong, nerves grow back. And so this procedure he's going to have this week, and it was so painful. He could not talk. He could not eat. Couldn't, you know, really, really bad. So, but God, amen? But God. He's going in. They're going to do a procedure, and he's coming out pain-free. And it's not coming back. God's, it, this is, you know, I told Jerry, I said, you know, I said, there's been things, but I said, I tell you what, this was before he went to the ER, and, you know, it's just like, you know, he went off to be by himself to see what God, what he was going to do, and I said, I want to tell you something. There is a path. It may be a miracle now. It may be through a doctor, but there is a path for divine recovery. Yes. And I said, God's going to show that path to you. We know, amen? Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But we're going to see a victory. And I thank you, God. Right now, we confess and believe with them for the divine recovery and miraculous things happening in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you. You may start that. I appreciate that. We're going to see turnarounds. Because no weapon formed against us can prosper. Amen. Come on now.
The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph.
Come on.
My God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, there's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will win. I'm not backing down from any giant, 'cause I know how this story ends. Yes, I know how this story ends. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory, I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory, I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory, I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, gonna worship my way through this battle. Gonna worship my way through. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Evil, and you turn it for good. you turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
Hallelujah. Be seated. They're going to take up the offering. If you haven't already put your money in, Miss Martha has an awesome testimony.
I do, and I want to praise God. That's the first thing I want to do. I am praising God. And most of you probably know that my daughter's husband and his parents have active COVID. That's what the doctors say. And you know, I've been doing this study on praise now for weeks, and the Holy Spirit has not let me leave it. I'm to the point sometimes I will say to the ones that are listening, is this okay to do it again? The Holy Spirit will not let me go. Well, you know, I didn't realize when I was studying this weeks ago, and the first thing that I learned is that praise is a weapon of God. And, you know, maybe other people aren't getting as much out of this Bible study as I have. Sometimes the teachers are held accountable, and they have to walk what they teach. Teaching should not be taken lightly. So here I am teaching on praise. No matter what your circumstances are, keep praising. No matter how bad things get, as a Christian, we should keep praising. Then, within 2 weeks, my precious son-in-law that I love as a son and his parents all get COVID. The mother gets sick first, off to the ambulance she goes, and she goes to the COVID wing, the infectious wing at UK is nothing but COVID, and all they're studying in their research is nothing but COVID. And she progresses downward and downward and downward. Then his father starts showing symptoms. Off to the VA he goes because he's a veteran. And he starts going downward and downward. And their x-rays come back as COVID lung. I have learned more about COVID than I care to know. But the thing is, when I learn it, I go and I praise and I curse it. Everything that's said, I curse it. I curse COVID lung. But in the natural, once you get COVID lung, you rarely, if ever, recover. It's a low recovery rate. Okay, that's medicine. It's not God's word that Miss Laverne was talking about. Then my precious son-in-law got it, and off to the hospital he goes. His mother at that point is in serious condition, and they say she probably will not live the next 2 or 3 days. And he said, I don't want her dying alone and afraid. They put him in the room with her. So here they are. Now Antonio is getting worse day by day. Wednesday, I got call after call after call from Minta. She's trying to believe. She's trying to hold on to what she was taught here. I'm trying to be encouraging. I don't cry. I don't get upset. I just keep telling her about the word. And I come to church, and this was my day. She started calling saying, Miss Cowan is now in congestive heart failure. They're going to send her to the ICU bed on the COVID wing. Antonio can't be with her, and they want to know, do you want to put her on a ventilator? Before she can get, anything happens, I get another call. Pray for Mr. Cowan. He is crashing rapidly. They have asked Antonio, do you want to put him on the ventilator? Now, here's Antonio, sick himself. And I don't know if you all are aware, COVID is a very painful disease and a very, very painful death. It attacks your own inflammatory system, which attacks your own body. He said it was the worst pain he had ever been through in his entire life. He is a retired police officer. He got beat up by a bunch of perps early on and had to have a total of 3 knee surgeries, 2 replacements and another surgery, because they broke his knees with pipes. This was years ago. So he's been through pain. And he said, Mama, it's the worst pain I have ever been through. And he said, I would wake up at night and hear the screaming coming down from the hall where the people were screaming in pain. He couldn't scream because his muscles tensed up so bad that his vocal cords quit working. So you couldn't hear his screams, but he was screaming. So before I came to church to teach on praise, now I'm telling you, this is Satan's setup. Satan set me up. That is okay, Satan. I got God who can get me out. There's no setup that Satan can do. But when I came to church that night, and I shared this with the group, I'd been on the phone with Minta. Antonio was doing bad. And she was saying things to me like, Mama, I can't live without him. What will I do? I can't live without him. I can't go through this life without him. And, of course, I had to encourage her. Minta, don't talk like that. God is still in control. I did. That's what a mama does. And so I came to church. The Holy Spirit was on me so strong, wasn't it, Miss Phyllis? I could just feel it. I get in the car. I check my phone because I turned it off during church. Call me, Mama. Please call me. She said, Antonio is really, really bad. And I said, well, we're going to pray. And Miss Phyllis had told me. She gave me a word. Didn't know she did, but she did. She said, tell her to read Psalms 91, 3, 4, and 5, 6 times a day. Read it. And I told Minta, I said, Miss Phyllis wants you to read Psalms 91. Minta respects this church. And she said, I'll try, Mama, I'll try. Now, you have to remember, she's emotional now, right? And so by the time I get home, she's on the phone again. Mr. Cowan is getting worse. I said, let's pray. And then I said to her, because she was sobbing, I'm going to read Psalms 91 to you, Minta. And I said, it will get to your spirit. And I did. And that's what I did. And it was call after call after call. At 10 o'clock, she calls me. Mama, please, please pray. I can't live without him. Antonio's inflammatory markers were, quote, unquote, off the chart. They called Minton and said, do you want him to go on the ventilator if he gets worse? Of course she did. They did an x-ray at 10 o'clock. They found four spots. They said it was the beginning of COVID lung. Then I got a couple hours sleep, and at 2 o'clock she calls me. Mama, oh mama, Mr. Cowan has crashed. Antonio has told them by nodding, I want him on the ventilator. So they put him in a drug-induced coma. He's been on the ventilator, and it's still critical. They have said there is nothing else medicine can do. He's in a bed that turns him to get pressure off his lungs, and he goes on his head, then he goes on his stomach, and then they flip him on the back. And anytime they flip him on the back, that could be it. He could smother to death, even with the ventilator on. That's how the lungs act. And I prayed with her. I read Psalms 91 again. And then I get this call at 7 o'clock in the morning. I've been praying now. I prayed Wednesday all day. I was praying. I would pray in the Spirit till I fell asleep, got a couple hours, and wake up praying in the Spirit. And I got this call about 7 o'clock. I was over at my mother's. And this voice said, hi, Mama. It was Antonio. Yes. He said, Mama, guess what God did. He knows, folks. And I said, what, Antonio? He said, I'm going home. 10 o'clock that night, they were asking Minta, do you want to go put him on the ventilator? All his lab work was off the charts. He was in awful pain. He couldn't even talk. When they drew his lab work at 5 o'clock, guess what? Every lab of his was normal. Normal. The doctor came in, and he said to Antonio, and these were his exact words. I wrote it in my phone so I wouldn't mess it up. Well, son, I don't know what's happened, but you have had a miraculous 360-degree turn around. Miss Rita, that was your word. And that's the first thing I said. That's Miss Rita's word. That's what that doctor said to Antonio. And he said, we're going to get you out of here before you pick up something that's going to make it worse. Can your wife take care of you at home? Now, he's not 100%, but he's on his way. He is on his way. Yeah, they used that experimental drug that they give for Ebola. They used some asthmatic drug that they say is really working well. Could it have been that? It could. But, you know, his parents have had all the experimental drugs. And now for his father, and I told Minta, it's not the end. Medicine has said there's nothing else we can do. Okay, praise God. That's not what God's word says. So I'm not here to have a pity party. I'm here to tell you I am still praising God. And I told the group Wednesday night, no matter what happens this week, I am going to stand up Sunday morning and I am going to tell you my God is good.
Amen. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We magnify your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, come on, church. Well, I think we need to give him a praise, don't you?
Yes.
Father God, we praise you, Almighty. We know he's not done. We know that God is moving. And another thing that we've all talked about is, you know, what do you do if you don't like this is going on or that's going on? You thank God that he's in control.
Amen.
And he's the one that's going to change things. He's going to. And I thought of this, and I may be wrong, and if I'm wrong, you can correct me, but all this unrest that took place in the 60s, there was a lot of bad stuff that went on, a lot of bad stuff. But if I remember correctly, following all this unrest and all this bad stuff that was really bad back then, there was a Jesus movement.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
So
yes.
You know what's happening, don't you? We're going to get a Jesus movement.
Amen.
Now, I believe that. I just realized that, you know, sometimes you just don't connect the dots yet. But there is a Jesus movement. Because what the enemy has meant for evil, God's going to turn it around. And there's going to be somebody that's going to just be filled with anger and hurt and has been taught all this junk and been taught all this bad stuff. All of a sudden, they're going to come face to face with Jesus who loves them. And there's going to be a move of God. Amen? A move of God. Hallelujah. Let me get this back on again. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. This is a move of God. Amen.
Miracles happen when you move.
You to realize Denise is out today. She has some stuff going on, and she fell and had to have some stitches. Pardon? Yeah.
Denise, yesterday we was by ourselves, so she wanted to go to E-Town, so we went in a store, and she had to go to the restroom, and she passed out and hit her head and got a big gash on it, and we ended up about 5 hours in the ER at the Hardin Memorial Hospital. And the doctor come in and said, we need to do a brain scan. They thought she'd had a stroke or something. So they took her and done a brain scan, and the doctor come back in there and said, everything's negative, no concussion, no brain, nothing. I said, thank you, Jesus. And that doctor said, you know, how they are. But anyway, they put her on some IVs, she dehydrated a little bit, and she was nauseous, and they give her some IV, and then they sewed her eye up and put some glue on it, and she got a big gash on her eye and got a black eye this morning. And they seem to think, Martha and Gail, y'all might know that vagal nerve could cause it when you got to go to the restroom. And they told her to follow up on it and get it checked out. And so she's fine. She's a little weak this morning, but she's doing good. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. You know, as we do this, and we're so thankful that Bob's here, because God's total recovery for Bob. And Pastor's not here. He's catching a recovery. And there's other people. And, you know, I want you to if you want to stand for somebody else as we go, we are here for you. Do what? Do what you do, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah.
We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts on. This is a move. This is a move. This is a move. This is a move.
praise you, Father, for what you are doing. Hallelujah. You know, we started, we did a new song last week that we want to do again. It was on my mind all week. And, you know, with all that we've asked him to do today, and we want to celebrate the fact that he is worthy. He is worthy. And I want to just, not all the scripture, just remind us of the word of God that says here in Revelation, you know, when they brought out the scroll and they couldn't, you know, the word came around and John heard him say, well, who's worthy? Who's worthy to do this? And the Bible says, and when he, it says he then took the scroll, talking about Jesus, because it said, well, I got to go back. I'm sorry. It's just awesome. And it says there between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven saints of God who have been sent on duty far and wide into all the earth. Now, church, I want to stop just a minute. When he was on the throne, when he was on the cross, I mean, he was a lion. He was a lion of the tribe of Judah. He was fighting. But now, guess what? He became the sacrifice. He's a lamb. And it says, he then went and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. That was God. And when he had taken the scroll, I've already read that. And then it says, and now they sing a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to break the seals that are on it, for you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men unto God from every tribe and language and people and nations. And you have been made, you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign over the earth. Did you hear that? And then I looked, and I heard the voices of many angels on every side of the throne and of the living creatures and the elders. And they numbered 10,000 times, 10,000s and thousands and thousands, singing and saying in a loud voice, deserving or worthy is the Lamb who was sacrificed to receive all the power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and majesty, glory and splendor and blessing. So, you know, the song is he worthy? Is he worthy? And you know, you have a response to this. And I really want you to use your imagination with your heart and with your spirit. And as you listen or as you read these words and your response, we do or it is, you mean it with everything you've got. Amen? Amen.
Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could make it all brand new? We do. Is all creation groaning? It is. Is a new creation coming? It is. Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? It is. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he's David's root. Is he worthy of the Father truly love us? He does. Does the Spirit move among us? He does. And is Jesus our Messiah? Forever those he loves. He does. Does our God intend to dwell again with us? He does. To break the seal and open the scroll, the Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he's David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, he is made.
You today. We honor you, Lord God. I mean, you know, how can you end, how best to end praise and worship than saying, you're worthy, Lord God, you are worthy. And we're giving you the honor and the glory. Father God, you are good. You are good. And we thank you, Father God, for the Jesus movement, Lord God, sweeping across this nation, sweeping in Adair County, Father God. And I know, Father God, that there's going to be people that didn't know they needed you. But they're going to find you. There's going to be somebody on every corner. Father God, just thank you for godly nurses and doctors and workers in the hospital, Father God, and people out just doing everything. Father God, there's going to be somebody standing on every corner being able to tell somebody Jesus is Lord. Jesus loves you. God loves you. I thank you, Father, for this movement taking place. And everybody said, amen. Glory to God. Woo, Pastor Shirley.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm on now. Yes, I'm on. Praise the Lord today. Thank you for this word today, God. We're going to be reminded of who we are, why we are. Amen. Never can get enough of that. Amen. Father, we just thank you. As we've come into your presence today to praise you and to give you honor and just to lift you up, Lord. Now we're ready to receive your word that brings life to us. And everybody said amen. I want to start off the service this morning by reading a word that the Holy Spirit dropped into my spirit on the way to work the other day. And we're going to be taking some stuff out of that, some things out of that today, and minister on it. Amen. And the word was, we the church are the called out ones. We the church are the blood bought ones. We the church are the redeemed ones. We are the church that has a voice in the earth. We are the church that will speak forth light into the earth because we are light. We are the church that says we will go forth and we will conquer all in the name of Jesus. We are the church in the earth. But until the church rises up and realizes the anointing that they have been given, realizes the power and the position they have been given, because unless you know your position, you will never be able to mandate the kingdom of God in the earth. And he says, I want you to rise up and recognize the mandate, what I have called you to in the earth for such a time as this. To be a voice among the wickedness, to be a voice among the darkness, to be a voice among those that say they are here to destroy. God says you are coming to an end of your destruction. For I, the Lord God, am raising up a body of believers that will set forth a standard in the land. Wow. This is the truth. Heaven is superior to all the darkness that may be up on the earth in this time, says the Spirit of grace. I love it when he ended with the Spirit of grace. Amen. All from grace. For I'm coming, says the Lord, through my believers. And when I read that, I thought the church is coming. And all heaven is backing us up. Amen. I'm coming through my sons and daughters, and I will cause them to prevail in the earth. So be faithful to your calling. Be faithful to the gifts of the Spirit that I have put within you. Be faithful to what you are called to do in this season. For you do matter, church. You do matter, church. You do have a voice, church. You do, says the Spirit of grace. For I have anointed you, called you, sanctified you, appointed you, filled you with the Holy Ghost to be able to speak forth the oracles of my word in the earth for such a time as this. Rise up and be counted as one of the faithful, says the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. We have a voice in the earth, church. We have a mandate. We have some things to say. That's why we need to be talking. We need to be decreeing. We need to be prophesying. Amen. I want to read a couple of scriptures this morning. The first one is found in 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 6. And the heading of that chapter says the new covenant ministry. Now, it's because of God's mercy that we have been entrusted with the privilege of this new covenant ministry. And we will not quit or faint or be weary. We reject every sinful, shameful cover-up and refuse to resort to cunning trickery or distorting the word of God. Instead, we open up our souls to you by presenting the truth to everyone's conscience in the sight and presence of God. Even if our gospel message is veiled, it is only veiled to those who are perishing, for their minds have been blinded by the god of this age, leaving them in unbelief. Their blindness keeps them from seeing the dayspring light of the wonderful news of the glory of Jesus Christ, who he is, the divine image of God. We don't preach ourselves, but rather the lordship of Jesus Christ. For we are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God said, let brilliant light shine out of darkness. It's the one who has cascaded his light into us, the brilliant dawning light of the glorious knowledge of God as we gaze into the face of Jesus Christ. Wow, we've been given that new covenant ministry. And in Romans 10, 13, and 14, it says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can people call on him if they have not believed in him? How can they believe in him if they not heard this message, his message? How can they hear if no one tells the good news? But how can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted? And how can they hear if nobody tells them? And how is anyone going to tell them unless someone is sent to do it? That's why Scripture explains, all sight to take your breath away. Grand possessions of people telling all the good things of God. But not everybody is ready for this, ready to see or hear and act. Isaiah asked what we all ask at one time or another. Does anyone care, God? Is there anyone listening, believing a word of it? The point is, before you trust, you have to listen. But unless Christ's word is preached, there is nothing to listen. Amen. We're all to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And whether it's behind the pulpit on Sunday morning or the platform where you've been given in this earth, your job or wherever you go, you have an opportunity to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're all to proclaim the good news of the gospel. So today's message is an encouraging word to remind us, to bring to us a remembrance of why we are here, to remind us who we are as a church and what we are as a church and what we're called to in the earth, and the mandate we have been given, and the call to be faithful. Amen. I was reminded of a story. A 93-year-old professor was going back to his college where he had retired from to be recognized, and a celebration party was planned for him. And while walking into the building, humped over with a cane, moving and scuffling along, there was a mother holding her baby. And the professor stopped and asked, "May I hold your baby?" Gazing at the baby, a smile came across the old professor's face as he handed the baby back to his mother. He thanked her for letting him hold the child and said, "That baby is a reminder to me that I've been focusing on the end so much that I have forgot about the beginning, that I have forgot about the now." Wow, we're so wrapped up. Is this all this happening? Is the Lord coming back? Is all this taking place in the land? You know, what's going on? We get so focused on the end that we forgot about what happened at the beginning when Jesus established his church. We forgot about that we're to occupy the now time. Amen. So that I forget about the now, that I don't occupy the now. Not to get overwhelmed with what is going on. Not to get an attitude just to hunker down, as I said a couple of weeks ago, and wait till the Lord comes and takes us out of all of this mess. But I'll tell you what, we've got a commission to do. Amen. And I found out that with every mess, there's a message. And God is making a mess. God is that's what the enemy is taking to make a mess out of. God says, "I'm raising up out of the ashes a message of my glory and my deliverance in the earth." Yeah. With all this mess that we see in the land, I see a message of redemption. Yeah. I see a message of restoration. I see a message of hope. Yeah. I see a message of healing, church. Amen. Because God, that is who he is. We're not to forget the beginning of how it all started, with Jesus saying, "Going into all the world and proclaim the gospel, proclaim the good news." Yeah, I know that the Lord's going to return with a shout, and I don't know when. There are some things I do know, though. There are some things I don't know, but there are some things that I do know. I know that God is faithful. I know that God is good. His love is everlasting, and anyone who calls on his name shall be saved. I know that we have the now to occupy. I know we are seeing revival, and God is bringing them all back home. I know we are seeing the glory of the Lord in the land of the living. I know God is calling us not to sit down and to be silent. We are ministers of the new covenant. So let us not, and I've already made mention of this in the praise and worship this morning, let us not hang our harp on the willow tree because things seem bad, because there are voices that are crying, "Doom, give up, quit, be quiet, stock up, pile up." The only thing that we need to be stocking up and piling up is the word of God in our hearts, that at the time we need it, that it comes forth. Amen? So let us not hang our harp on the willow tree, but take your harp off of it and begin to sing and dance about, for we have already been given the victory. Amen. I see a victory, church. Don't let the darkness steal your song. Don't let the voices that are speaking the loudest steal your song. So he's willing to remind us today why we are here for such a time as this. And somebody needs to hear the good news. Somebody needs to know that they can have peace. Somebody needs to know about Jesus and the hope he offers. And we are the church of the body of believers, the sons and daughters of God in the earth now. The word church is a translation of the Greek word ecclesia, which is defined as an assembly or a called out one. Amen. The root meaning of church is the weak, of course, what we know is not of a building. Romans 16:5, Paul says, greet the church that is in their house. Paul refers to the church in their house, not a church building, but a body of believers. A body of believers, active organisms, live here on the earth now. The church is the body of Christ, and he is the head, because Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 says, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amen. The body of Christ, Acts says, is made up of all believers in Jesus Christ. From the day of Pentecost, we're the continuation of the book of Acts. Miracles are still real. Amen. God is still raising the dead. He's still healing bodies. He is still saving souls. He's still bringing deliverance to people. The day of Pentecost until Christ returned. Luke 4:18, 19 tells us the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. Why? Because he has anointed us to preach the gospel to the poor, sent us to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. You've been anointed to do that, church. So we're not just the called out ones. We are blood bought. We are the redeemed ones. We have a voice in the earth. 1 Peter 2, 18-19 says, for you know that it's not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. No, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Hallelujah. We are a blood bought church. Remember the message I preached back when we was not here. I was, Jiglin was, the Holy Ghost was, about that the blood still speaks. The blood is still speaking today, church. Ephesians 1 and 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's why we have a voice in the earth for such a time as this. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What's your say-so today, church? The power of the blood of Jesus has provided everything we need to live a life of victory. And this includes redemption, fellowship, healing, protection, and authority over the darkness, authority over the over wickedness in high places. Amen. That is part of our redemption. Hallelujah. That's why we need to keep needing to be reminded of who we are and what we have in him. And I wrote this song down that Kim's going to learn, and I love it. It's the blood-bought church song. Have you heard it? Wow, Kim's going to learn it and sing it for us. They shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for joy. They shall cry aloud and be free. They shall glorify the name of the Lord. It's the blood-bought, the church, the redeemed. Oh, pick up your heart, O Zion. Woo! Of the Lord, let the earth ring forth with his praise. All his children rejoice from the island of the sea. It's the blood-bought, the church, the redeemed. And we are in that army of the Lord. We've been washed in the blood, and we are going forth. There's nothing that can stop this mighty moving forth with a shout of praise and a two-edged sword. Every bondage, every stronghold of bondage must fall beneath our feet. Every prisoner held captive must be free. For our deliverance has come through the power of the Son. It's the blood-bought church, the redeemed. Let the earth be silent. All winds cease to blow. Every creature being hold of your wing, for there's a new song being sung with a melody. It's the blood-bought church, the redeemed. Do we have any redeemed in the house today? Hallelujah. Those that have been blood bought, redeemed, have been given a voice in the earth. We are a church that will speak forth light into the earth because we are light. Matthew 16:19 tells us, I will give you, Jesus said, I will give you what? The keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven, and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. That's the voice that we have. When I say we have a voice, I'm saying that we've been given authority in the earthly realm when the kingdom of heaven, because the kingdom of heaven, what the kingdom of heaven holds is superior to the earthly realm, and whatever the earthly realm holds, it's not of God. That's why we have the keys. Whatever heaven says no, we say no. Amen, because we're declaring what heaven has already said. We declare with our voices what heaven has already declared. We will speak forth light into the earth because we are light. Light precedes light. Light precedes light. Ephesians 5:8-14 tells us, for you once were darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Matthew 5:14 tells us that you are the light of the world. We know that light illuminates. You don't know what is in a dark room until you turn the light on, and that which is in the room, that which has been hidden, is exposed because of the light. Why has there been so much wickedness and all this stuff going on? I believe the church has been in intercession in the last few years. I believe there are some things that have been exposed because somebody has touched the hem garment of God, and I think there's darkness been exposed because something cannot be healed until it's exposed. That's why we are seeing revival in the land. That's why we're seeing revival. We, the church that says we will go forth and we will conquer all. To conquer is to what? Overcome. Romans 8:37 tells us in all these things we are more than. We're not just a conqueror. We are more than a conqueror. Through who? Through him who loved us and has given us that. Amen. And a church, until the church realizes the anointing that they have been given, realizes the power and the position they have been given. You heard me say before, there's nothing no more aggravating for your job to give you a position, but never give you the information on what to do with that position. It's very frustrating. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been positioned and we've been given the information, amen, on what to do. And he says, I want you to arise up. Recognize the mandate that I have called you to in the earth for such a time as this. Because unless you know your position, you will never be able to mandate the kingdom of God in earth. That's why the enemy wants to keep the church blinded from the truth that they've been redeemed, that we're under grace, that we're blood bought, that we're more than conquerors, that we're saved not just to miss hell and go to heaven, but we have a mission to do on the earth. While we are here now, go into all the world and preach the good news of the gospel. To realize means to become aware of. It means to become aware of something. It means to take notice of. We get into the Word. We take notice of what our position is. We take notice of what our mandate is. It's a mandate is to authorize or decree a particular action. Your position, God raised us up with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms of Christ Jesus. You are positioned in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. That's the position you speak from. That is the position that you live from. That is the position that you act from. Amen? It's from that position. 2 Corinthians goes on to tell us in 5:20, we are what? Christ ambassadors. God making his appeal as it were through us. We as Christ's personal representatives. That's what an ambassador does. A representative of another country. Beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered to you and what? And be reconciled to God. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. In Ephesians, we read where we are seated and what we are in that seated position, ambassador. Ambassadors is a representative of another place. We are representatives of what? Of the kingdom of God. So what do? We're in this earth to represent the kingdom of God. We know our mandate, reconciling God, people to God through the ministry of the gospel, which is the good news, amen? The mandate that I've called you to on the earth for such a time as this. Remember, mandate is to authorize or decree, to be a voice among the wickedness, to be a voice among those of darkness, to be a voice making those that say that we're here to among those that say that they're here to destroy. And like I said at the beginning, it's spiritual wickedness in high places. There are pawns in the hand of the enemy to be used for wickedness, amen. So we do not speak against them. We speak against the demons and the things that have held them captive. That is what we come against, amen. So God says you're going to come to an end of your destruction. And I got excited when I read that, because I said, God, you're saying that they're coming to salvation. You're saying that they're coming to their deliverance. You say that there is hope for them. You say that you've not counted them out. You are saying that they're coming home. They're coming home. Hey, hey, hey. They're coming home, church. Glory to God. He says you're coming to an end of your destruction. The word tells us in Ephesians, as I was saying a while ago, 2:12, this is not a wrestling match against a human opponent. We are wrestling with rulers, authorities, the powers who govern this world of darkness, and spiritual forces that control evil in the heavenly world. That's where it's sad. They're controlled by spiritual wickedness in high places. And to me, it's sad to see people out there doing what they're doing, because I know they're creating them into God for a better purpose. Amen. And they have hope. No one. It's out of the arm reach of God. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for although we live in this natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. Wow! Did you hear that? We live in the natural realm. We don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. Wow, they're hiding behind their wickedness. They're hiding behind them. Amen. But there is a remnant of a body of believers that God always has in the earth that will stand for the truth and that will raise the standard. A body of believers, raise it up. We are setting a standard in the land. How do we set a standard in the land? Of course, we believe the word, which is the truth. But it's by our actions, attitude, and words. What are you saying? What's your attitude toward what's going on? What's your actions to what's going on? Are you going into the prayer closet? Or are you getting on social media or other platforms and having the same attitude that they are? But are you going into your prayer closet and are you grabbing a hold of heaven and said, God, I believe deliverance for this people. I come against this spirit that's invading our world, that it's coming to an end in the name of Jesus, that you're sending revival. You're bringing deliverance to them. And anyone that calls upon your name, you said they shall be saved. Amen. So we raise that standard by proclaiming the truth of God's word with their actions, with their attitude, and with their words. That this is the truth. And anything contrary to this is not the truth. This is our standard that we live by. Amen. Heaven is superior, as I said, to all the darkness that may be upon the earth. And truth is that Jesus has conquered death, hell, and the grave. He has conquered darkness for us. Amen. He already ruled. Light is superior to the darkness. He's already made the final proclamation. Light is superior to the darkness. Amen. 1 John 1 and 5 says, this is the message that we heard from Christ and are reporting to you. God is light, and there isn't any darkness in him. God is a good God, and the devil is evil. Bad things from the devil, good things are from America, Father God. Amen. He is needing a voice in the earth to declare the light that is who he is. And we are the light in the earth now. Amen. Which is now in his sons and daughters to be a light in the darkness. For I'm coming, says the Lord, through my believers. I'm coming through my sons and daughters. And I will cause them to prevail in the earth. Prevail means meaning more powerful than the opposing forces. He has called us to conquer. He has called us to prevail. He's not called us to sit down and be quiet. Amen. But to go into the prayer closet and begin to intercede and begin to declare what the truth of the Word of God is. That we are victorious. We, the church, are God's body in the earth. I was reminded in 1 Chronicles that I read one time in chapter 14 where David and his men went up to the enemy. And he said, and he defeated them. He said, as waters break out. And when I read that, I remembered the word the Lord gave us last week. He said, there is a tsunami coming out of my people. And when a tsunami hits in the natural, it destroys everything in the sight, in sight. And that's what's coming forth out of us, church. It's a tsunami of the glory of God. And whatever's standing in place in front of us, any wickedness in high places, any darkness, what happens? It's going to destroy it. And David said, he defeated them. David did. As waters break out, God has broken out against my enemies. But listen, he said, it was by my hand. That's why he needs the church to be his hand in the earth, to be his voice in the earth. He wants to speak through us. He wants us to bring deliverance to him through our hands. God is going to use your hands. He's going to use your voice. He's going to use your declaration to break through into this earth what has already been broken through in heaven. Amen. Holy Spirit shifts in the world by asking his body of believers to be faithful. And I began to say, okay, now we're shifting from this word, Lord. Now you're coming directly at the body. And you're saying, I want you to be faithful. I want you to continue to be faithful. So be faithful to your calling. What has God called you to do in this season? What is he saying specifically to you? What is that one thing that God is asking you to do in this season? Be faithful to the gifts of the Spirit, he says, that I have put within you. You have gifts that are within you. And you have gifts in you to burst forth in this season. Your gifts brings heaven to earth. Did you know that? Your gifts are not to put on display so that you can receive glory and say, wow, look at all these gifts that I'm exposing. No, no, no. It's to bring heaven to earth into people's lives. It's to tear down strongholds in people's lives. Amen. It's to expose spiritual wickedness in high places. The gifts of the Spirit are in you for that purpose. You may be, the gifts in you may bring someone's deliverance. Your gift may put you in places you may need to be at an opportune time to speak the word of salvation to someone. You know, if you ever went somewhere and you're thinking, this is not really where I'm supposed to be, I encourage you to go ahead and get out of the car, because God probably has somebody there that you need to pray for or speak to, because nothing is accidental by God. Amen. Be faithful to what you are called to in this season, for you do matter. There's nothing no worse than a feeling that you don't matter. That, well, it doesn't matter what I do. I'll just come to church or show up on Sunday morning. I'll just go to work, man. It doesn't really matter. Nobody wants to know what I'm saying or have to say. That's a lie of the enemy to keep you quiet. You do matter. You do have a voice. You do have a word. You do have gifts. You do have a calling. Amen. I will speak to that one that feels as if they don't matter. You've been counted out by your family. You've been counted out by yourself. Holy Spirit says to you, be encouraged. You do matter. You do have a voice. You do have a word for somebody. You do have hands that can lay hands on somebody and see them healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. It only takes a mustard seed of faith. Wow, a mustard seed of faith is all it takes. So we have no excuse that we have no faith. Amen. You do have a voice, church. You do, says the Spirit of grace. For I have anointed you, called you, sanctified you, appointed you, and filled you with the Holy Ghost. So we have all that we need to be the voice in the earth. We've been saved. We've been sanctified. We've been appointed. We've been anointed. What else more do we need? We've been given the keys to the kingdom. We just need to put into action what we already have. Be able to speak forth the oracles of your word in the earth for such a time as this. And then he says, rise up and be counted as one of the faithful, as one of the faithful. So you may stand this morning. I'm about through. I would end this message today by saying we have a great big mission ahead of us to do, church. But we can rest in the fact that our God is faithful, and because he is faithful, we are faithful. Amen. What a great opportunity that we have set before us in this time to take the gospel to the world around us. Take the gospel to the world around us. Your world is wherever you're at every day, who you're around every day. That's your world, church. Amen. That's your mission field. The strength to do it is not in our own power, but the power of the Holy Spirit that he has enabled us to do go forth at this time. And I know that I have spoke like a horse out of the Kentucky Derby, but that's okay. It's online. You need to go back and listen to it. It was just there, and I had to speak it. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word today that has set us free. I thank you, Father God, that we're going forth out of this place, energized by the Holy Ghost, that we won't forget, Lord, that we will be continually reminded who we are and what we have in you and our position, Lord, that we are ambassadors to be representatives of the kingdom of God in the earth, that we will not slack up concerning that which you have called us to. We will not sit back and be quiet, but Lord, we will speak the truth of your word in action, Lord. Lord, and in our attitudes and what we say, God, that we will not be like those around us just spewing hate and all kinds of foul things, God. But we will speak truth and love, God. We thank you for your word, Lord, that has set us free. I speak over these people today right now in the name of Jesus, that you and your household are blessed, that your children are blessed, that the words that you have prayed over your children, this is the time they're coming to fruition. This is the season they're coming to fruition, says the Lord. We call them back home in the name of Jesus, back to the Father's house in Jesus' name. I speak that you are blessed and you are highly favored of God, and the favor of God surrounds you as a shield, that there's hope in God. God, not as the hope as the world gives, but hope in knowing that our God is faithful. If he has said it, he will do it, because he keeps all of his promises to his children. And we thank you for that today, God. We pray for our government today and those in the high offices today. We pray, God, we come against spiritual wickedness in those places in the name of Jesus. We speak peace over them in Jesus' name. And those things that are whispered in their ear that are not of you, God, that you would cause them to hear you, Lord, and know your voice and discern your voice, Lord. We pray for our president and those in the White House, God. We pray our protection over him in the name of Jesus. Thank you for setting people around him that gives him words of wisdom, Lord, and words that he needs to hear at the right time, God. Thank you for encouraging him, Lord, in this season. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus that you are God. Thank you for your love that you've had us, that you brought us out of the kingdom of God and placed us into the kingdom of your dear Son. We're so thankful for our salvation today. And everybody said amen and amen. Have a blessed week.